whom we are very privileged to have with us, Brother Laddie. And we have appreciated his ministry in the past, and we again look forward to his ministry here today. We are very concerned, however, that Brother Laddie's got a little voice problem here, and we do appreciate his sacrifice, particularly under adversity. And we feel that the Lord will direct him and help him in his delivery here today, in his message for each of us. If you haven't already, hopefully you'll be receiving a little handout. And on that handout is the discourse title. And the title of Brother Laddie's talk is The Front Page. The Front Page, Brother Laddie.
Thank you, Brother Randall. How many of you, brethren, know what RAM is? Okay, how many of you know what RAM is? Okay. Raise your hand. Okay? So some of you know what RAM is. Well, brethren, I have a problem with the amount of RAM I have of being able to comprehend something that is on a in a book or on a number of pieces of paper. And therefore, what I like to do, because I have so little RAM myself, I like to take and boil things down to as small a unit as I can so that I can get the picture in my mind, and then with the Lord's blessing of being able to understand the other things that I've read in the past, to be able to blow it up as case may be. I do not know what the future holds for the remaining members of the church. But we've seen in our particular time a number of brethren who have come out from under very severe conditions. And those conditions were such that even to have the volumes in their possession was a crime. And therefore, I think that we as brethren should do everything we possibly can to capitalize the truth down to the smallest character so that we can always remember the key points and bring them back into memory. For a number of years, I've read the volumes. But brethren, I have to admit, I always forgot the front page. Or I just didn't think it was important. And a few years back, Brother Alan Springer gave a discourse. And he gave a discourse on the subject of sanctification. And in that discourse, he brought out the front page of the first volume. And it has been a blessing ever since. But it was even a greater blessing, brethren, to me when I realized that the pastor actually did what he did in the first volume to all the volumes. And that's what you have in front of you on this sheet entitled The Front Page. It's the very front page of each volume. In essence, what the pastor has done for us is he has taken and the entire volume and broke it down into just a few words. And today, brethren, I am encouraging you to learn these few words that are on one page. To learn them by heart, to know them within yourself, so that when a time comes when you do not have your volumes with you and you do have time to take and meditate, you will be able to take step by step and go through all the volumes and make it your own. And encourage you during those times when you may be down. It is amazing what is in these front pages. Starting with the first volume, brethren, it says, The Plan of the Ages, A Vindication of the Divine Character and Government. Stop and think of what that means. We are now in the last portion of the seventh creative day. For 49,000 years before, the Lord has been doing all the steps, and there's less than 1,000 years left. Less than 1,000 years left. And this work will be completed. Think what that does to us from the standpoint of putting us in a place in history when the completion of God's work will be finished. It's absolutely just mind-boggling to me that the Lord has permitted us to be in this position. And we're the only ones that know it. There's so few on the face of the earth that understands the place that we are standing in. The end results, according to the text that we have in front of us, is that all the things that have happened in the last 6,120 years that man has lived on the face of the earth will be vindicating to our Heavenly Father and also his government. In that one word, government, is the very thought of the entire plan of the ages that is presented on this chart. God's character will be vindicated because man will come to understand what God has been doing for 6,120 years. And the pastor boils it down to these few words. It's a vindication of the divine character, the love of our God, and of his great plan. And he says that this will be done by showing that all the scriptures, by recognition and harmonizing of all the scriptures of the Bible. See, the world of mankind has had for a number of years God's plan in their right hand. They just didn't know how to read it. And it says that mankind will be brought to a position where they will be able to recognize and harmonize all the scriptures and to realize that the commission of evil, past and present, is educational and preparatory to the ushering of mankind into the golden age of prophecy. Brethren, won't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful when mankind will realize that this has just been a long school session? Won't it be wonderful when they'll realize that everything that has happened, whether it be death, sickness, prosperity, or the loss of all things through floods, fire, tornadoes, everything is part of this educational preparation of the world of mankind, that they might be ushered into the golden age of prophecy. Very few understand that. Yesterday we spoke to you in reference to the fact of what the pastor presented to all the ministers in Pittsburgh. It was a wonderful plan. It was the golden age of prophecy that he presented to them. And they rejected it. But you know, you and I know that the day will come when they will come forth from the grave and realize the opportunity that they missed. They will realize that the experience that they had was what they really needed during the kingdom of God. And he says that these experiences are educational and preparatory to the ushering of mankind into the golden age of prophecy, in which all the families of the earth will be blessed with a full knowledge. We are given so much now. We are given so much now in just being able to understand what God has been doing and what God is doing and what God will do. And brethren, this is just a foretaste of what all the world will have. Can you think of buildings as large as you can when all the world of mankind will come to hear these things recited to them so that they can fully comprehend how gracious and loving our Father has been? And he says that not only will they receive a full knowledge of God, but that they will receive a full opportunity for attaining everlasting life. An opportunity that they have not had. Brethren, that's what we're doing today for the world. Let us not get caught up in the little things that happen to us on a day-to-day basis and lose focus of the real mission that we have, which is reconciliation, of bringing the world of mankind back into harmony with God and to give them life, life everlasting. They will be given the full opportunity for attaining everlasting life through the Redeemer, who then will be the great restorer and the life giver. And brethren, next time you turn to Acts 3:19 through 21, remember this one small paragraph. It tells the exact meaning of Acts 3:19 through 21. It's what all the prophets have spoken of since the world began. It's what God's word is all about. The pastor ties this Acts 3:19 through 21 as he relates to you in this small paragraph from the first volume to the second volume. And brethren, again, we are humbled by a realization that we're living in this time, this period of history, when the pastor brought out this simple little statement from the scriptures, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Remember what the pastor brings out in the second volume? He says, the time is at hand for the Lord to return. He says it in such a simple way. He says, it's wonderful to announce this one little fact that the Lord is present at this time. But he builds you up to that by establishing in the second volume the fact that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. You will begin to see things that have never before happened in the history of man. You will begin to understand that God is working in a very specific way with mankind. And that is by bringing an increase in knowledge. How is it possible? How is it possible for mankind not to know for 6,000 years what we have come to understand in just the last 100 years. How is it possible that that could be kept, as it were, all secret, but for a few? What did the Lord have in mind by keeping these things secret for 6,000 years? All these lessons were important for mankind. They had to learn that even the best of men could not do anything to bring about salvation. They had to come to realize that even the angels themselves could not bring about salvation to the world of mankind. Even the perfect will, the perfect law of God could not bring about salvation for mankind. More was required. And brethren, we're living in a time when the final part of God's creation is being put together. It's called the new creation. It's part of God's plan. He says here that times of refreshing shall come, and at that time he will send Jesus Christ, who has been preached all down through the last 2,000 years, and even before by the prophets. He will send Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must retain until the times of restitution of all things. If the volumes are ever taken away from you, if your Bible is ever removed from you, and you have to sit in a room with nothing whatsoever, think of this paragraph. That the time that we are living in today are the beginning of the times of restitution. I can say that without a question in my mind or heart. Jesus kept the law perfectly. And by keeping the law perfectly, he became king of the earth. Because he that kept the law became heirs of the earth. And so when he returned in 1874, the earth belonged to him. It belonged to him because he kept the law perfectly. And therefore, restitution pertaining to the earth could begin. And if you have not read the very last article that the pastor wrote or spoke, as the case may be, it was his last discourse, just before he got on the train to head back east, which train he died on. And I would suggest that you look into the third volume of the Harvest Gleanings, and you'll find it there. And he explains this in detail as to why, when the Lord returned, he was king and he was reigning. Whom the heavens must retain until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You recall back in the first volume that he talked about the government, the divine government, God's government. Here he's saying that God has had this plan all down through this period of time. And he's saying that all of his holy prophets have spoken about it. And then, most remarkably, he brings this thought together. And it's an important part of the second volume. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. What a joy. I was thinking, and we were talking a little bit about the video, which is a documentary of Mr. Miller. It's entitled Midnight Cry. And it's amazing, the power of God, that he was able to take Miller and show him the 1,335 days, the 1,260 days, the 1,290 days. And yet, within the same text of Scripture, speak of the 1,335 days and said, Mr. Miller, you're not able to see this. It doesn't exist there. You will not find, to best of my knowledge, as I look through it, Mr. Miller speaking about the 1,335 days. But it's all in the same text, brethren. It's all there. And that should be an encouragement to us. Because as God was able to hide from others, he has been equally able to open to us the Scriptures to understand that the time is at hand and what is taking place. And so as we look at this particular book, with all its details and its numbers, which sometimes stumbles us and causes us to have long conversations and sometimes getting into pretty deep to the point of where we may even do a little bit of arguing about them. Think about the fact that God was able to open to us the understanding of the time that we're living in. And there are millions that are not able to see that yet. But again, that's our assurance, brethren. If he's able to do it with us, he will be able to do it with the whole world of mankind. And we're student teachers now, brethren. We have the opportunity to practice by telling other people about this, even about the deep things of the time features. Maybe they don't understand it. Don't go into it from that standpoint of believing they have to understand it now. Tell them anyway, because the day will come when they will say, as the disciples said, did not our heart burn within us as they opened to us the Scriptures? That's our purpose. The third volume. It's interesting to see the sequence that the pastor used in opening up to us the Scriptures. First of all, telling us of this whole great big plan. And then saying, the time is at hand. The time is at hand of what? The time is at hand of establishing the kingdom. And that's what he's speaking about here in the third volume. He says, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. In a few words, he really has capitalized this whole concept of this special kingdom that our Lord has for the world of mankind. He speaks about the greatness of the kingdom. In the greatness of the kingdom, brethren, there's nothing left out. Everything is there. He says that the greatness of this kingdom shall be given to the people of the Most High. Who's that? Who's the people of the Most High? The joy that should bring us to realize that this kingdom will be ours. And the greatness of this kingdom will be ours to serve the people of the earth. Then all those that turn a deaf ear to us now will be able to hear. Remember what the Lord says to everyone in the churches? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. When the Lord says he will turn to the people a pure language, that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, he's saying that he will give the ability for the people to understand. That he will give the people the ability to understand just the same way as he has given us that ability. And then our student teaching will be over. No longer will we be student teachers, but we will be priests. And the position of the priest was to teach the people. With the priest, of course, there is the additional feature to it, as they will be able to stand before the people and represent them in the eyes of the world. And it says in reference to this kingdom that it will be an everlasting kingdom. Don't forget that little point. It's such a small point, but don't forget it. It says that this kingdom will not be like all the kingdoms that we've known of here on earth that come and go. All you have to do is pick up a paper today, and there's probably going to be a new kingdom someplace in the world. But this one here will never cease to exist. Come February next year, we're going to have a little study on Daniel in the Columbus area. One of the things that I really enjoy about Daniel is the fact that almost every one of those chapters from 1 through 6 comes to the point of saying that God's kingdom will be different from Nebuchadnezzar's and Darius's and all the other ones. It's different from the one standpoint that it will never cease to exist. And the reason why it won't cease to exist is the people will come to a point of obeying, loving the Word of God and obeying. And there will be no need for this kingdom to come to an end. And it says, all dominions shall serve him and obey him. Again, a simple little statement to say, peace on earth. Peace on earth, because all will obey him. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam disobeyed. All will obey him. And more important than just obeying, they will serve the Father. And so in one short little paragraph, the pastor has summed up eternity for the world of mankind. Isn't it interesting that he could take in one paragraph and say, this is what the world's going to be like, and put it in front of you? But before that happens, before that kingdom is established, lest you become discouraged, the pastor says, when our Lord returns, in 1874. Some things are going to happen. And if you have the wrong view, brethren, you're not going to understand why. We often hear, we don't understand why people have accidents. Babies die. People walk into, kids walk into schools and shoot other kids. It's very difficult to understand why these things are happening as we look at it from the human standpoint. But the pastor wanted us to understand that when the kingdom is beginning to be established, there is a wrecking ball that is required of tearing down the old. And the very first part of that tearing down work has to be in a destruction of the things that people have come to learn by false teachers. And so he says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof were dried up. This is a work that actually began to take place here before our pastor. And it was preparatory for our pastor that little bit by little bit, the voice was being removed from her. The understanding was being removed from her. The concept of what the purpose of the church was removed from her. And notice the next few words. The purpose of that being done. He says that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This work was the work leading up to the time when the pastor would begin his work. We, brethren, are represented as being the kings of the east. And it's the preparatory work that came to the point of where this truth message could be brought out. And the destructive work of that old system could begin. First, the Lord had to remove. Once it was removed, the truth could come forth. And once the truth came forth, she could be cast off. It says, and I saw three spirits, the spirit of devils, working miracles, going forth unto the kings of the earth. Not the kings of the east, no. The kings of the earth. And the whole world, to gather them together to battle of the great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Read this book. Read the context of it. And specifically try to get the overview. And on the back side, you have all the volume chapters listed there. And you'll see that the fact that the doom of Babylon, Christendom, has been called into judgment. Mini, mini, tiku, farson. And the pastor explains the necessity for this. Why it's necessary that it be called into judgment. Because of her confusion. Because of her confusion, both national and ecclesiastical, showing that they join together. And so we see in this the work that was being done, chapter by chapter, bringing you up to the point of where the pastor says that this is the time of the establishment of the kingdom. And he shows you how that kingdom will be manifest. The end results of that, brethren, is the earth will be made glorious. The earth will be made glorious. That's the end results of this terrible time. Now, you and I have ridden along roads, and we've seen billboards, at least I have. I'm sure it's pretty well national. Billboards that tell about this terrible destructive work, this terrible destructive work that is going to come. And they call it Earth's last chance. Every time I see signs like that, I see the contrast to it. The end results of this destructive work is the earth made glorious. Now, in Revelation, the 17th chapter, the angel says to John, come, I'll show you this destructive work. We are the John class. We have been shown this destructive work. The end results of that day in school, as the case may be, for John, was that he came out of it very excited. John was thrilled. John had a different view of things than the people that put signs up that says the doom of the earth. John saw the destructive work as being wonderful, and he was so excited about it. That he wanted to bow down and worship the angel. Now, usually we put most of our emphasis on the fact that the angel says, no, no, don't do that. But stop and think about it, brethren. The most beautiful aspect about John wanting to sit or bow down and worship the angel was the fact that the John class appreciated what the angel told him and realized the beauty of it. That's why John wanted to bow down and worship. The John class sees the vision and understands and appreciates what the pastor has taught us. And it's an indication to us, if we don't have that spirit of at least so being so joyous, of wanting, as it were, to bow down, maybe we don't see how beautiful the vision is. Now, what the angel says, no, this is of the Father, and you're absolutely right. And that's exactly what happened in reality, in life. The pastor said, don't worship me. But we love the message. We love the message. Even the destructive message, because the end results of it is the earth is made glorious. The fifth volume. The atonement between God and man. Excuse me a minute. This is one of the most beautiful volumes of all of them, if you can take and say any one of them is greater than the other ones. Because of the way the pastor ends this up. He says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Brethren, our brother Watkins, Jim, has delivered us this wonderful message pertaining to the ransom and the sin offering. And the Jewish people have long time tried to convince the world of the fact that there is only one God. And they've not been able to see the other part of it here, is that there's one mediator between God and man. Center your thoughts on this point, that God is the author of this wonderful plan. And Jesus is the mediator that will bring mankind to God so that they can stand there. And it is accomplished by one means and one means only, and that is the ransom. Never lose that doctrine. It's the foundation which every other doctrine can be based upon. It's like an upside-down pyramid with the ransom at the very bottom. It supports the whole plan all the way through. And remember, it was the man, Christ Jesus, that accomplished this. What a difference one word makes. It has been stated that every Trinitarian believes in the ransom because they believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Don't you believe it? Jesus was fully man. And that's what this brings out. In such a short statement, Jesus was man. And as a perfect man, he gave his life a ransom for all. And it says, we also joy in God. This brings us into the fifth volume. This is our part. He says, we also joy in God. Well, why do we joy in God? Through our Lord Jesus, we have received atonement. We have already received atonement. Again, this is just a foretaste of what the world of mankind will receive. Because with atonement, think of all the things that are ours. This relationship that Adam had with the Father, we also have. This ability to, as it were, walk and talk with Him, we also have. And because we have received atonement, justification, we can also become part of the sin offering, without which we could not. We have received atonement. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, and Romans 5, 11. What a beautiful thought of our standing. And the reason why this is beautiful to us is we begin to realize what our position is, brethren, for the world of mankind. Our position is to bring them into a position of one under our head, so that they can experience some of the things that we have experienced, and even more, because what they will have that we do not have is they will have perfect bodies. There will be no need for glasses, for pacemakers, or all the other helps that we have. And those are the things that we're dying for, to give to the world mankind theirs. Everything that happens to us as far as our health and our wealth pertains to this one thing of training us to be mediators for the world of mankind under our head. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a work that is done within us. And I've always appreciated the sixth volume from the way that it's been laid out. The pastor uses the very first chapter. And in that very first chapter, he says more than 1,000 books on any bookshelf about the creation, the physical creation of the heavens and the earth. And as you go through that first chapter, what he tells you is about the detail of how God created the earth through Jesus, the Logos. He tells you about a bird that is able to sing. He tells you about the beauty of a flower. And then he tells you about mankind. How man was developed, created, with the ability to think and to reason, and to appreciate, to hear the bird, to smell the flower, to enjoy God's physical creation. No other creature has the ability of that appreciation. And this is the wonderful creation of God. And the pastor tells you all about it in one chapter, in detail. And then the next 13 chapters? No, it's more than that. It would be 16 chapters. In the next 16 chapters, he goes into detail and he describes another creation, the new creation. And he's telling you step by step of all the things that are necessary for the development of this creation. Every point is essential. We need it all. The Lord doesn't waste our time by putting things in there that's not necessary. It's all necessary for us to understand. And we must constantly read over these chapters, because it tells us what we do on a daily basis, and it tells us why we're doing it. And it tells us what the Lord is performing in our life. It causes us to understand why do we have these illnesses and sorrows and bumps in the road. Causes us to realize that that's the way we are made tender high priest. It tells us that we can take and run into situations on a daily basis that actually would floor a person and say it's okay that this person thinks this way, or it's okay that this person condemns us to an eternity of torture. It's okay that they don't accept what we say to them. It's okay that they put the books back in the mail and they send them back to us because they don't like what they read. It's okay, brethren, because it's not time for them to understand. It's okay that they can hate us and say all manner of evil against us. They did that with our Lord. It's okay because they don't have a mind that is able to understand and appreciate these things today. And you and I are in a position to say, it's okay, because tomorrow you will understand. And you will rejoice in this. And the joy that John had will be yours. And you will be able to point them to the author of this great creation. We read, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The pastor here is pointing to us, to our Lord here, and saying that we don't know our Lord after the flesh, as he walked here upon the earth. We know him as the risen spirit, new creature, the risen Lord. And we know him from the standpoint of the power that he has to accomplish these things, this creation. And we know him from the standpoint of the power that he has to work in us to make us what he would have us to be. I love the words of John, the 17th chapter, where there our Lord is saying that he has lost none of those that the Father has given him. Think of that. He's lost none except for the Son of Perdition. What assurance should that give us in reference to the end of this new creation? He's lost none except for the Son of Perdition. Means the only way it's possible that we can fall out of grace, as the case may be, is because of our own doings. His power is there to do it. I also love that chapter from the standpoint that more than anything else, he brings out the thought that the one thing that his disciples had that the rest did not have, they did not know his Father. We know the Father, and we know of his government and his character. If, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and all these old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Because now we have this new prospect of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how it is to be accomplished. And then there is the, on the first page yet, of each one of the volumes, there is a statement that is consistently the same in every single volume. Now you notice that every volume summarize what was there within that book. But the statement that is the same in every volume is the one at the very bottom. Even the tabernacle. The tabernacle has no front page to describe the whole work. But this statement at the bottom of your page is what's in every one of them. Read it. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things under Christ. This statement on the first page of each one of your volumes in the tabernacle should thrill us, because it tells you the end of all things. It says, first of all, to make all see. Realize, brethren, that all will see, even the development of the church. They will look back upon the things that have transpired. And because of the fact that they will be given the ability for perfect recall, they're going to be able to remember detail. So let us be careful in our life, so that we set a perfect example for them to the best of our ability. But all will come to see this. All will come to see the fellowship that we have had of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, God had hid, or had been hid in God. All will be able to see this. It's marvelous. But he has abounded towards us now in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Think of it. You have, as it were, access into the realm of God. You have access into understanding what is in the mind of God. You can read it. Can't write to it. You can read it. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one all things under Christ. That's the completion of this chart. That's the purpose. Let us not lose focus, brethren, in what we're doing. Let us not lose what are in these volumes. The pastor makes some very strong statements that the plan of God can be seen to be both beautiful and harmonious from this standpoint and from no other. You see, there's only one plan. It wasn't the pastor's plan. It was God's plan. And this did not change. Has not changed. And will not change. In the end, the pastor says that we are responsible to this truth. Every person that has heard it cannot simply say, that's great, I don't want it. We are responsible. And brethren, we have that responsibility today. And I pray that the thoughts that are found on the first page of each volume will constantly call to your mind the responsibility that we have.
Thank you, Brother Laddie, for your very encouraging and inspiring message to each of us. And even though it's not time for the world of mankind to come to a full knowledge of God, I think we could say it was time for us to hear that message. And I can particularly agree with that, because before this service, Brother Laddie came to me and could just barely whisper. And he said, if the Lord allows me to get started, I think I can finish. So we're very thankful that his voice held out and was able to give us that very inspiring message. Brother Laddie has asked that...